Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Joe Davis is here. Joe Davis is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Director of Public Affairs, Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW, and he's our good friend Joe Davis. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Hey, good morning to all your listeners.
It's good to have you back, Joe. Hey, Joe, this is the anniversary of a historic day, a day that some people are saying is America's second day to live in infamy. We were attacked on this day in 2001 on September the 11th, 14 years ago this morning. And just wanted to have you join us and give us your thoughts on the day.
Yeah, I always like people just to go back in time just a little bit. And, you know, we're talking 14 years now. But, you know, imagine on September 10th, just sitting around the dinner table or at the local restaurant somewhere and just discussing world politics. Imagine on September 10th that America would be able to fight a two-front war for 14 years with an all-volunteer force.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that table, including previous, now retired chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they would all say, no way. But we absolutely have and we continue to do just because we have some young folks out there who continue to step up in defense of everybody else. Patriotism is not dead in our country. God bless them all.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no question what you just said is absolutely the truth. And, yeah, if you think about that, you know, I was trained in the military by pre-volunteer Army people.
Right.
And then when I went on active duty, I transitioned into the volunteer Army, and that was a shock. The volunteer military, that was a real shock for me. But I didn't know how it was going to work.
Well, you know, you talk to everybody now. Who, I mean, it's been an all volunteer force since '73.
That's right.
So this is no longer an experiment. We're way past that. It's a professional force, and the people who are serving in uniform today, they don't want a draft. Because they want to serve next to somebody who wants to be in uniform, who wants to make those long hikes or those long swims or to fly aircraft and to do all the grunt stuff that the rest of the general society really has no clue what it is they do. And that's a problem that we have, that gap and experience gap. But it's something that, you know, not everybody can be a fireman. Not everybody can be a Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to thank those folks who do step up and do that on behalf of the rest of America.
Well, there's no question about it. And you know, I remember seeing a transition, Joe, in the '70s when I saw the brothers in our unit, or I should say, maybe I should, because we had women in our unit in those days, but the siblings who were older in the '60s, mm-hmm. and early '70s, they weren't the same kids as the kids who we were recruiting in the late '70s and early '80s. Those kids had a different attitude, and they were ready to serve. I mean, they were a little farther beyond the Vietnam era, and
yep.
And since then, I think the volunteer Army, the volunteer military, I should say, turned the corner around 1980. And it's, as you say, it quit being an experiment after that, and now what we've got are people who I use the word agape love, Joe,
right.
when I think of these people. Agape love is when you do something extreme on behalf of someone else, and that person is someone you don't even know.
Right.
That's agape love. And when I think about our military today, the things that they've done around the world, when I think about the men and women in the emergency uniforms, police, firefighters, the technicians, medical technicians, those folks, when I think about them running towards trouble while you and I are running away, that's agape love, Joe.
I'll tell you, it's something. And I also want to give a shout out to that Vietnam generation too, because you know, as lousily as they were treated when they came
home,
they basically, whether you protested the war or you fought in the war or wherever you served, I mean, they kind of like came together and said, wow, we should never, ever do that again to another generation of service people. And they've passed that forward, and that's when I came home from Desert Shield, Desert Storm, I got a parade. It was all because of that Vietnam generation, because now they can uncouple the politics of war from the warrior fighting the war.
And don't forget, these children, these young people we're talking about who were so selfless,
they're the children of the
people you're talking about.
Absolutely.
So they were raised right in the right family. Isn't America? I'm not going to say we're unique in the world in terms of this kind of agape love, because we've got great allies like the Australians and the British and all of the UK folks and a few other nations. But in terms of this kind of agape love, this kind of commitment to service to our global friends, no other country's had the impact America has had.
We can be your greatest friend, and we can hopefully be your worst nightmare should you want to torque us off. But, you know, that's the United States of
America. Did we get attacked for that, though? Is that why we got
attacked? Because we are a Western country who believes in Western values and basically believes in the right of man and woman, where you have some radical terrorists out there who have basically morphed their religion into something that nobody really recognizes anymore, and they have a lot of power. And the thing is, they have the capability of striking fear and terror whenever at their choice. What's hard for us is trying to figure out when and where, and they have the opportunity because they're the attacker. It's hard to be a defender when you have no idea when your attacker hides behind women, hides in churches or mosques.
But
they don't wear a uniform.
Hide in schools and hospitals and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they're getting
children, handicapped children, to carry satchel bombs into civilian marketplaces.
What part of the Quran tells you to be a coward?
What part of humanity tells you to do that? It's amazing.
But, I don't know what
you're talking about. Here we are 14 years later after 9/11, and you know, what I like to do is just go, you know, to move forward now and talk about the high school graduating class of 2015. Now, I don't know when you graduated high school, Jim, but I graduated high school in 1973. I never knew my country when it wasn't at war.
Yeah.
I grew up with the Vietnam War.
Me too. Hey, Joe, hold on to that thought. Okay. I'm going to let you finish that thought. We'll come back after these messages, folks. We're commemorating the lives of those that died on 9/11 14 years ago, but also those who died and were harmed in service to us since then. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.